unhappy encounter with a lady where he gained the undeserved reputation of heartlessness, he had shrunk icily into himself, like a snail.
Sit down. He'll be here soon.
Isn't this one Juno? A beautiful animal. What a wild evening.
You should not have come out.
May I help you lift the kettle from the fire?
I don't want your help. I can get it for myself.
I beg your pardon.
Were you asked to tea?
I shall be glad to have a cup, and I fear that I shall be weather-bound for half an hour. If you could afford me shelter during that space?
Half an hour? I wonder you should select the thick of a snowstorm to ramble about in. Do you know that you run the risk of being lost in the marshes? People familiar with these moors often miss their road on such evenings, and I can tell you there is no chance of a change at present.
Perhaps I could get a guide among your lads, and he could stay at the Grange till morning. Could you spare me one?
No, I could not.
Oh, indeed.
Are you going to make the tea?
Is he to have any?
Get it ready, will you? Now, sir, bring forward your chair.
I don't think it possible for me to get home without a guide.
As to staying here, I don't keep accommodations for visitors.
Zillah, the stout housewife who had come to Lockwood's rescue with the dogs, gave him a glass of brandy, sympathized with his sorry predicament, and showed him upstairs to his room.
Just you hide the candle and don't you make a noise. The master has some odd notion about this room, and we'd never let anyone lodge here willingly.
Why is that?
I don't know, sir. I've only lived here a year or two. Eh, there's so many queer goings on, I canna begin to be curious.
Stupefied to be curious, he fastened his door and glanced around. He discovered an old-fashioned couch within a large oak case, with squares cut out near the top, resembling coach windows. He got in with his light, pulled the panelled sides together again, and felt secure against the vigilance of Heathcliff or anyone else. The window ledge where he placed his candle had a few mildewed books piled up in one corner, and it was covered with writing scratched on the paint. This writing, however, was nothing but a name repeated in all kinds of characters, large and small. Earnshaw, here and there varied to Cathy Heathcliff, and then again to Cathy Linton. Listlessly, he leaned his head against the window and continued spelling over Cathy Earnshaw, Heathcliff, Linton, till his eyes started to close. But they had not rested 5 minutes when a glare of white letters started from the dark as vivid as spectres. The air swarmed with Cathys. Rousing himself to dispel the obtrusive name, he discovered his candle wick reclining on one of the antique volumes and perfuming the place with an odor of roasted calf skin. He snuffed it off, and very ill at ease under the influence of cold and lingering nausea, sat up and spread open the injured tome on his knee. A flyleaf bore the inscription, Cathy Earnshaw, her book, in an unformed, childish hand.
An awful Sunday. Hindley's conduct to Heathcliff is atrocious. The H and I are going to rebel. We used to be permitted to play on a Sunday, if we did not make too much noise.